This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
It's good to have you here. Have you ever messaged those? Go ahead and take that out, whether it's on your phone, whether it's on a piece of paper on either side of the booth, whatever that you have today. I do want to say a special thanks to the band and Christian as well as our leader. Christian is away at a funeral this weekend. One of his mentors passed away, a man who poured his life into many, many people through camp, through a Christian camp. And so Christian's away doing that, but just as that legacy of the person was passed down to Christian's life, and his life is impacting our life as well. So he's away, but we appreciate our band stepping up and doing a great job. So if you get a chance, thank them, and thank Christian too for all he does. Today we are wrapping up our series we're calling Maximum Generosity. We've been looking at the values of the church this year, starting with Jesus first, and we spent the last few weeks focusing on what it means to have maximum generosity, hitting on all cylinders, and living the life that God has for us. Week one, as we started, was looking at the generosity of God and just realizing that everything we have, all the abilities, skills that we have, all the things we've been given, even the gift of life itself, the gift of salvation, is from God, that God is extremely generous to us. And so we focus on that the beginning of our series, and that led us to week two. We talked about how do we give back to God and how do we trust God with the resources and the gifts, talents, and abilities he's given us. Then beginning week three, we looked at really the generosity of Jesus. Jesus never gave anyone money, but what he gave them was so valuable, his time, which was so precious, and his attention and the acts of kindness that he poured into other people's lives. And I hope you got a chance to do that as well, to give people your time and your attention, to love on them. And how Jesus also did acts of kindness, simple healing, or whether it was a time of just responding to people's needs. He just always was looking for ways to share the love of God through other people. And I hope that you've had a chance to do that as well, and generosity in that way. And last week, we kind of focused on those acts of kindness, looking at the book of Ruth and how her generosity through acts of kindness changed a generation, which led down to the birth of her grandson, David, and then from there down to Jesus. And that kindness has changed a whole culture and has changed the world, right? Passed on to us. Today, we want to wrap this up as we look at maximum generosity, wrap this series up, and really get us moving ahead in what God has for us this year into the years into the future. I want to start with a quote today. This is one I've used in the past. It's from Rick Warren, and it simply goes like this: generosity is love in action, right? If you want to talk about love and how do you love, it's being generous in all those ways, whether it's gifts or money to people or acts of kindness. It's an act of love. It is love in action. When I was in seminary, about half of my classes were at Saddleback Church, which at the time was about 25,000 people. It's kind of a small church, you know. It's actually a very big church. And so I would go Saturday nights to my seminary class, and I would go show up for their Saturday night service, or even Sunday I'd show up for that, and just study what was going on. An extremely generous church. They were probably the first church ever to send missionaries to every single country in the world. And they gave toward that. They want to establish churches in every single country in the world. It's kind of amazing they're able to do that. Rick Warren taught on generosity a lot. I learned a lot from him. You'll see that reflected in what I'm teaching today. One of the things I learned from him is just a powerful thing. If you know, if you've ever read The Purpose-Driven Life, it's the second biggest seller of all time behind the Bible, which is kind of like the Bible's at the top, and this is number two. And he made a lot of money. I mean, it made a ton of money. And what he explained is basically he and his wife reverse tithe, meaning they lived off of 10% and they gave 90%. And not only that, they paid back his salary for every year he's ever been there. He's retired now. But I listen to that, I go, that takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? I mean, to put yourself there, what would you do if you had millions of dollars? He drove the same car, lived in the same house, didn't upgrade. And I think just setting that personal example was huge. And so I learned a lot from him. And from that church during the time I was there, and I saw what God could do through a people that are committed to being maximally generous. One of the things I learned is that in Scripture, the word believe is used about 270 times throughout Scripture. The word pray, very important prayer, word, right? 370 times. Love, about 700 times. But the word give, over 2,000 times. So God is saying something to the word give. That's love. Loving God, loving people, and just giving of ourselves in all aspects of our life. God says, just be generous. Now, today on your outline, I just want to work through, and we're going to go through this fairly quickly, some of the things that the Word says. Obviously, we can't cover it all, but I want to go through 10 things that the Word says about being generous and how God wants to work through generosity to us and through us to help people live in His kingdom. So if you want to follow along the outline, it's right there. We're going to have it on the screen as well. And the first thing I want to just bring up is this, that generosity brings glory to God. The main thing that we want to focus on is shining the light on Jesus, right? That generosity says to the world, hey, this is different. Generous people live differently than everybody else in the world. It's something that comes from God. It's His idea. It's His example. It's the way that He lives. And so we just want to shine the light on Jesus. This is not us. It's about Him and what He has done in this world. Paul was writing in one of the books we have in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians, he's writing to a church that basically is the granddaughter church of the church in Jerusalem. That was the first church, and Jerusalem helped plant a church in Antioch. And the church in Antioch was used by God to plant a bunch of churches to get the movement of Jesus started. And what happened when this church was planted, they heard back in Jerusalem, kind of the grandmother church, that they were going through a really hard time. There was a famine, people didn't have much, and so this little new church, this little planted church, sent money back to the grandmother church. And when they did, Paul wrote them this letter that we call 2 Corinthians, and this is what he wrote to them, 2 Corinthians 9, 12, and 13. He said, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. This is what happened through what you gave. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, they'll be taken care of, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. They'll know where the gift actually came from is God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. And that's the thing people recognize when we're extremely generous, they go, that has to be God working in somebody's heart, and I see that, whether it's time, attention, whatever, they give glory to God. He goes on to write, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are doing this so that people find out about Jesus. That's the key to generosity. They see Jesus. Now, we have a table in the lobby. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it over the last year or so. It's been out there. And it really kind of is there to design to show you how God is generous through you to other people that are sharing the love of Christ. The first 10% of what is given to Bridges is used to give to other people. Some of the groups include Crossroads Ministry, that works in eastern Kentucky, and some of us have gone there and seen really how much poverty has affected that area. And we support a person there, CJ Noe, and Crossroads Ministry, and they are just pouring their lives there. We hope to go back in 25, maybe even sooner, to help that work there. But they're sharing the love of Jesus in very tangible ways, and we help support them. And then we have a couple in Arizona, Robert and Liz Cruz, who probably are watching. They're in like a different time zone. They get up early to watch our service. It's so cool. They have gone there to work on the Apache Reservation near Globe, Arizona. And the work they're doing is incredible. They're teaching people how to use the skills they've been giving in woodworking and metalworking and just pouring their lives into people that need to know the love of Jesus. And they're in the Gap Ministries. Just a powerful thing that God's doing there. We help support them. And then Aaron, who did announcements just now, I don't know if you know her story and their family, Aaron and Scott Littleton, after they graduate from college as a newly married couple, think about this now, they moved to Uganda, and they worked in an orphanage there, fell in love with the country, came back and started a nonprofit. You ever met anybody that started a nonprofit to help support women there, grandmothers and their children? They make baskets, and they help support what's happening in their family. And they're making a huge difference, been doing it for years, and we help support that. So your giving goes to them as well. And then we help support InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, a guy named Kevin Boyd specifically. And InterVarsity impacted my life in college. They reach college students with the gospel. And college students are some of the poorest people we know, right? If you ever were in college, you know you didn't have much. But what they need to know is Jesus. And InterVarsity does that. Kevin's in charge of preparing their Bible studies across the country so students can get together and they can learn about Jesus and how to live for them. So we help support them. And then Waypoint Church Partners is another one of the groups that we support. Waypoint has been huge in our life. They plant churches on the Eastern Seaboard. And we help support them, and we're actually going, several of us are going to a seminar on Tuesday on how to preach, so hopefully you'll see some improvement in my life after that. So we're going to go do that on Tuesday, but they plant churches, just planted one in Kinston, North Carolina, that is the baby church of one they just planted in Goldsboro, North Carolina. So God is moving in those areas, and we help support that through what you give. God is just shining a light on that. Now, one of the biggest things that you guys do through your generosity and through the church is a nonprofit we started called Bridging the Gap. And we've been doing that for several years now. Amazing, amazing stuff. We've had a food pantry. We now have a backpack program that every week, 130 students down at Old Town Elementary receive food for the weekend. These students are all on free and reduced lunch, and they get this food, they take it home, they have something to eat on the weekend, and they're just seeing the love of Jesus impacted through what you do. We also have the Inspiring Hope Learning Center. It's about a year old now. It's really cool. If you get a chance, come see it. You're welcome to come volunteer whenever you'd love to. 20 kids who just are, they're fun, they're a mess, and they're learning about Jesus. They are asking for prayer. We pray with them. They learn Bible stories. It was so cool. We were showing them a video, and in the video, they asked them to pray. We didn't know how this was going to go, and to hear their little voices, like repeating the prayer afterwards, was so cool. And then, of course, they cut up right after that because they're kids, but they just are learning about Jesus, and that's really powerful, and that's what you're helping to do. One thing I do want to mention is for years we've had a clothes closet and we've had turned into a yard sale. And Joanna Meadows has led that for the last couple of years. She served for many years. She's just decided to retire finally. I won't tell you. She hit a birthday, milestone birthday, and she said, it's time to stop. So we'll be stopping that. But would you, if you see Joanna, would you thank her and her team? They have just poured out. They've raised thousands of dollars to help support these ministries. And so this is all bridging the gap, that as God gives to us through you, you need to know that God is then using that to share the gospel here and around the world. And that's huge. Lives are being changed. The kingdom is advancing through generosity. So number one thing, I wanted to hit this one hard, is that when we give, when you're generous, it gives God the glory and not us. Number two, generosity directs our hearts towards God. Generosity directs our hearts toward God. And this one is big for those of us that follow Jesus. He said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, look, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. In other words, where you spend money, where you send money, that's where you think about. I don't know if you saw this, but this past Monday, the state of North Carolina just legalized sports betting in our state. So they've already spent billions of dollars on this. They got it in time for the ACC tournament, and I will have to be humble enough to say that our Tar Heels lost to NC State. So all you state fans, we give you the glory, right, for that. But billions of dollars will be spent there. Now, what's happening to sports fans is they're now watching games not to see who wins, but where they cover the spread. So their heart now is like watching their money invested in these games. And it's not necessarily, I want my team to win, I want to cover the spread. Because wherever you put your money, that's where your attention goes, right? If you have a 401k, you watch that. If you have a bank account, you watch that. And Jesus is saying, where you invest your money, that's where your attention goes. That's where your attention goes. That's where your heart goes. He says, you want to put it on something that's going to last. The only thing that lasts in this world are two things, right? The souls of human beings and the eternal purposes of God in heaven and on earth. Human beings have a soul that lasts for eternity. He says, I want you to invest in those things that will last, not things that don't last. So generosity, as you give to God and his kingdom, directs our hearts toward God. Number three, generosity helps protect us from materialism. Generosity helps protect us from materialism, which is the greatest thing we face in our culture today. It's the hunger for more. I've got to have more. If I buy this thing, it'll make me happy. And we use that thing for a while, and then it's gone. I don't know if you guys got your notice. We got ours for the bulk item. Did you get that already, the bulk item pickup? Some of you are going, I don't know what a bulk item pickup is. What bulk item pickup is they'll come pick up your big stuff you don't want anymore. And here's how it works in our area. So if you've never experienced this or not, put something big out during the time you're allowed to and watch what happens the next day. People will come and they'll pick through your stuff and they'll decide, I want that thing that you got rid of and I'm going to keep it a while until I'm either ready to get rid of it and then I'll put it out later or I'll sell it. That's the way it works. And whatever's left, and it's usually not much, then they come through and haul it off. Where does it go? It goes to Mount Trashmore. You guys know where Mount Trashmore is, off of Highway 52, right there. And it gets bigger every year, right? Every year it's getting bigger. Now you can see it because they cut some of the trees down. You can see it rising. One day it'll be taller than our buildings in the area. It's just full of stuff we don't use anymore, right? Stuff that we thought was important and we bought, and some of it is important, but it's got to go somewhere in the end. Materialism says get more, get more, get happy because of it. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And some of your translations use the word mammon. It's just the things of this world. You can't serve both. He said, you got to make a choice. You're either going to serve me or serve the stuff. And he said, serve the kingdom. Put your heart there. So generosity helps protect us from that, because if we give away, we're going, I don't want to be affected by materialism. Number four, generosity demonstrates our faith. Probably the greatest thing that demonstrates faith, right? This is why God set it up so early on to give to the people of Israel. He said, look, when you give, that means you're trusting me. Think about a culture where you're just every day having to grow your food, and God says, now give me a tenth of it. Give me a tenth. And they go, well, we can't survive off of 9/10. He says, you're going to have to trust me. Trust me and see what I can do with the 9/10 that you have left. I'll make it more than enough for you to last. It's all about trusting God. In our key verse for this series, Matthew 10:8, it says, give as freely as you received. And the context of that, we said, was a missions trip that Jesus was sending. Don't take anything, with you. Don't take any money. Empty your wallet. Don't take extra walking stick. Don't take anything. And you're going to have to trust the Father. He's going to take care of where you're going. When you get to a town, someone will invite you in. They'll feed you. They'll take care of you. Do you trust me? And they go, okay. We don't know all the experience. When they got back, they were filled with joy. Because everywhere they went, God took care of them. And that's the biggest thing we learned. That when we trust God with our stuff and we give to him, we're saying, God, I've got open hands. You fill my hands up and I'll give it away. But you got to keep filling my hands because I've got to live too. And we trust God to say, fill me up, God, so I can give to other people. Number five, generosity reveals our character. It's probably one of the first places we learn really to be responsible is with money. I don't know if you got an allowance when you were a kid. Anybody get allowance? Do they even still do that? Anybody get paid for their chores? Not now, of course, but when you were a kid. Anybody do that? Maybe get paid for it now in the house. I don't know. But the whole point of that is to learn how to handle money, right? Here's a little bit of money. If you spend it all, you're stuck. You don't have any more. You've got to learn to use it. But it is a reflection of our character. Again, Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 16, he said, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. If you learn to be faithful with little things, like money, you'll be faithful in much. If you're not faithful with little things, if you're dishonest in a very little, you'll be dishonest in much. It's like a test. It's like the practice field of life. Go out there and learn how to deal with money, and you can deal with more important things. He then says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Whereas money is this test. If you can handle that well, then God puts opportunities in your life to be used by him to share the gospel, to impact people's lives, to provide opportunities. So if you can handle money and prove your character, then he will give you bigger things to handle. So it's a place to reveal our character. Are we truthful? Are we honest with what we have? Number six, generosity brings God's blessings. And we don't teach the prosperity gospel here. I hope you understand that. The prosperity gospel says this, give so you can get. Give so you can get. There are people that teach this. If you give, God will take care of you. So give as much as you can so you can get. That's the opposite of what God's saying. Because you've received, give. That's how God looks at things. But he does promise to bless us. Early on, the Israelites, as they were moving into the promised land, Moses repeated the law to them. He said, this is what's going to happen as you go. He said in Deuteronomy 15:10, as God inspired him, he says, you shall give to him freely, give to God freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all that you undertake. He said to the Israelites, when you move into the promised land, don't forget God and all he's done for you. Give back to him, and he's going to take care of you, and the things that you do will show responses. They'll bear fruit, and he will take care of you that way. He will bless you. New Testament, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And I believe that's things like life and resources and peace and joy. It's like God said, let's play a game. Who can outgive whom? And here's the thing, you can't outgive God. He's going to give more and better than any ways we could ever hope for in a better life. So God's blessings come through generosity. Number seven, one of those things is generosity helps us experience joy. And I think we all want more joy in our life. In Acts 10:35, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. That word blessed is to be happy as you give of yourself to other people. The endorphins kick in, the serotonin kicks in, the oxytocin kicks in. We talked about that. You were designed to be generous. God made us that way. And as we're generous, we feel happy. We feel joy. And don't give reluctant eyes, 7 and 8. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly, because if you do, you miss the joy. And don't give in response to someone telling you to give. And don't respond in pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, right, out of joy. And God will generously provide all that you need. Now, that may be a promise you need today. And this is one of the reasons you might want to just jot this one down. If you're facing a hardship, you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you don't know how you're going to pay bills, notice that one. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's the promise of God. He will take care of you, and you'll experience joy. Number eight, again, we're moving quickly through these. Generosity is a better path than success, quote unquote. Like the world defines success as you climb the ladder, you get to the top, you get the most stuff. That's success. Well, there's something better than success. It's the good life that God has for us. Generosity is a better path than what the world says is success. Proverbs 11:24. There is one who generously scatters abroad, means there's somebody that gives a lot and yet increases all the more. So as you give generously of everything you have, it says your life increases. It gets better and better. In Psalm 112, verses 5 through 9, it talks about the good life. And this is much better than success. It says, good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. I want to pause there for a second. Think about the things that you do. That's the story you're telling to the world about your life, right? Who you are and what you do, people are noticing it. And that's the story they tell about who you are. Because everybody tells stories about other people, right? They'll go, what are they like? And they'll notice you and they'll say several things about you. You determine what they're going to say based on how you live and what kind of life you live. And that's the story. It'll be long remembered that way. This week I heard, it was kind of a strange way of hearing it, but a friend of mine, good friend of mine in California, died unexpectedly. It was a guy that I had worked with very closely. I taught at a Christian school. He was a Bible teacher. We both came in the same time. And so he became my boss in some ways. We taught Bible for a number of years. We didn't make a lot of money doing this. It was a private Christian school, so not a lot of money. So he worked two jobs. He did this, and then he worked at Disneyland. Here's your dream job, some of you. He worked security at Disneyland, which means he sat at a gate a lot of time and just let people in and out. Not the main gate, the side gates where nobody came. So he just got to sit and watch people come, but he got free passes, okay? He got free passes all the time, and every month he could sign people in. And what he would do is he would say, I'll meet you, I'll get you in, and then you just enjoy. Stay as long as you want. And he did this for so many people. And he was so generous about that. I wrote his wife and just said, you know, I just remember a time that he took me. We had the best time. We were on a ride. He tried to video it. And, like, the camera's shaking so bad. He's laughing and screaming so loud. It's like the worst video you ever saw, right? But he just loved that. He loved helping people. But what was so cool is on Facebook, all his former students are writing in. And they're saying things like, he made a difference in my life. He helped me follow Jesus. He was a person that inspired me. And there was just comment after comment about a life well lived. He wouldn't be considered successful as far as making a lot of money, but his life was a good life. He impacted people for the kingdom. He impacted people's lives for eternity for Jesus. He taught them kingdom principles. That's what's important. That's huge. The verse goes on and says this, this kind of person, they don't fear bad news. Why? Because they trust God. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They don't fear bad news. That's a good life. They are confident and fearless, can face their foes triumphantly. Wouldn't you like to live that way? Some people with a lot of money are very afraid. People who are following Jesus, they're just very afraid of things falling apart. What's going to happen if it falls apart? These people who are following Jesus and trusting confidently aren't afraid. And then it says they share freely and give generously to those in need. That's part of their life. They're generous. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They have influence and honor. Build a life, a good life, by the way that you act around people. Give of yourself to them. Show up. Help people enjoy life. Make a difference. That is a better life than what's considered success. Number 9, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but it's going to be cool because God says it's going to be cool. Jesus said, give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. One of the things I want to hear from God when I arrive is, well done, good and faithful servant, right? God is watching. He notices. He will reward. It's like sending your things on ahead. When you give to God and his kingdom, it's like sending things on ahead before you into heaven. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, Paul's mentoring a young man named Timothy. And he wrote him this, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. That's why God gives, so we can enjoy it. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so they may experience true life. That's a cool thing to think about, that God is noticing and he will reward us in heaven. I don't know exactly what it'll look like, but he's going to do that. And finally, number 10, just to know that generosity is noticed by God. He wants us to know that he sees those acts. And if no one else notices, God sees what we're doing. He does notice. He does pay attention. There's a very curious story about Jesus the last week of his earthly life. He goes to the temple, and it sounds like he just takes a seat in front of the offering bowl that they had. It was a big piece of metal, and people would come in and throw metal coins into it. Can you imagine the sound of that? Like kerplunk, kerplunk. And he's just sitting there watching people. I think it's an interesting thing. You know, ever do people watching? You ever go to the mall and do people watching? Jesus is sitting there doing people watching. And it says in Luke 21, he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. And he heard the kerplink, kerplink as she dropped them. And he said to his followers that were sitting there, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. He didn't discount what everybody else gave. He just said, look at her. Look at her faith. She gave the last that she had. She's trusting me to take care of her. And that was a powerful thing for Jesus. It's good for everybody that gave, but he just noticed her. And God notices when we give. We don't have to tell anybody else. We don't have to show it off. It's that he notices. And that's why this is powerful in generosity. Now, one of the things that we've done each week, we've given you an application to do. 1 week, we gave you an application to listen. I hope that you had a chance to do that. I hope you're still doing it. Another week, we gave you an application to try to do acts of kindness as often as you could. I hope that you did that. I hope you continue to do that. Today, when you came in or earlier, you've received this commitment card. And if you have it, you can take a look at it. And here's what we're asking you to do for this commitment, this application, is just pray, first of all. And one of the things on there says to start giving regularly. That's the most important thing that we want people to do, is to give to God regularly. If you're not there yet, just to pray about that and say, God, I want to start giving to you. That's number one. And then after that, one of the things we want to do as a church is that we have this wonderful facility that God has given us. We want to use it for his glory. We do have debt. We want to get out of debt as quickly as possible so we can be freed up to do more ministry. So one of the things we decided to do is say, let's just give above and beyond. We've set it up with our lender. And our lender will not only knock our to consider giving above and beyond, lower our payments if we can reach certain thresholds. So we've asked the church to consider giving above and beyond for the next 2 years to help us get out of debt, be free from debt, and have more money for ministry. So we're just asking you to pray about that. And then in a couple of weeks, either next week or the week after, just kind of think about this card, fill it out, and bring it back. If there's an amount that you want to try to give over the next 2 years, or if you want to give a certain amount on Easter, just to say, I want this to go above and beyond to help pay off our debt and to move forward and to give generously. Maybe a creative gift that you want to give. We've already had people give stocks and things like that. If you have something you want to get rid of, as long as it belongs to you, you can't sell your neighbor's car, okay? But if you have something you want to sell and you want to bring that money, that's great too. And we just want you to consider doing that over the next couple of years and help us continue to move forward in sharing the gospel and moving the kingdom forward. But the main thing is go back to what it says. God is looking for cheerful givers, those who are willing to say, God, I give in the name of Jesus because I want to give back to him and give him the glory. So if you'll pray about it and think about it, we'd love for that. Bring it back the next 2 weeks, either next week or in Easter. Just put them in the offering things. The only person that will see these is our person who handles finances, and they will put up a total, and then April 7th, we'll announce what came in, and that day we'll kind of tell you some cool stories of what's already happened and what God is doing through this. So if you'll consider that, that would be great. We want to really just see God do great things. I don't know if you've ever heard the story. It's a NASCAR story about engine 11. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had an engine that they called number 11. It was just like every other engine, except this engine was special. This engine, they earned over $4 million with. It never lost a race. They made every engine the same, but there was something about this particular engine as they put it together. And they asked the guy who built it, Richie Gilmore, who is a person here who lives in North Carolina. He said, what makes this special? He said, it was all aligned. We made them all the same. There was something about the alignment of this one engine that made it better than any others. Whenever it raced, it won. And now it's on display. They've retired it. But there's something about alignment that makes things work. And I think when we look at maximum generosity, it's about lining up our mission, which is to help people find and follow Jesus, and simply being generous in everything we do, not just money, but our time and attention, our acts of kindness, to help people find and follow Jesus. That's when it all works well. And that's what God asks us to do. Just be maximally giving of ourselves in love to his kingdom and to his people to see the kingdom expand. So that's what I'm going to pray over now. So if you guys will join me, let's pray over this and just say, God, we want to give you the glory and move. So Father God, we do pray for that. I do pray that you'll move in our hearts. I thank you for the generosity of the people that we've had come through Bridges and been part of Bridges for many years. You have been so generous through them, Father. And we look to the future with faith and trust, knowing that you're going to work. You're already working. You're way ahead of us. I love those stories where you've already moved in people's hearts to give. And we're looking forward to telling those stories. And Father, thank you for giving us Jesus above all else. Help us to live for him in everything we do. May we see more people come to Christ. May we see more people baptized. May we see the kingdom of God expand not only through Bridges, but all our ministry partners, all the other churches in our area, around the world. May we just see the kingdom advance and more people experience the love of Christ. Help us keep our eyes on Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. As we prepare for communion today, I just want to remind us just what God has done for us. Philippians 4:19 is one of my favorite verses. It's a verse so full of promise. Paul's writing to a church and he says, look, and may my God fulfill every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Every need of yours. Human beings have three basic needs. One is well-being, simply having food, shelter, clothes, place to live,
every belonging, every human, everybody needs a connection, right? Everybody needs love and community and belonging, every human being. And every human being needs the idea of self-expression, the freedom, meaning and purpose and value in life. We all need that. And in Jesus Christ, all of those needs are met. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He gives us life. He gives us salvation. He gave his life for us. He is our friend when we need a friend. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our love. He's everything. You know, I believe that in my heart, and I know that you guys know this too, that Jesus is the answer that everybody needs. He is the one they need, right? Everybody you encounter, wherever you go, everybody needs Jesus because he meets their needs. So that's what we're here to do. And as you take communion today, if you have a need, he wants to fulfill it. Just go to him and say, this is what I need today. I need hope. I need healing. I'm grieving. I need peace. I need joy. I need direction. I need guidance. Whatever. He says, I promise to meet them. And so take communion today with that idea. He is already going to meet them. Just ask. Just ask. Because he is the answer everyone needs. So let's pray. Father God, use this time of communion to speak to our hearts. And as people may be here today, they need something from you. They need hope. They need direction, they need joy, and they need a friend, they need salvation. Whatever it is, Jesus is here to meet our needs. He's our best friend. I thank you for that. And for those that have everything, we just want to say thank you for what you've done for us. So use this time of communion to connect us closer to you. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. So communion stations are on either side. Go ahead and receive as you are ready.